for. So yeah. Okay, great. So, who wants to start with something today?
Well, there's plenty going on here, but usually I jump in with a lot of stuff, so I haven't heard from Henry or Rick in a while, so I would default to them first.
Go ahead, Henry.
Oh, I'm not sure Henry's actually there.
Yeah, I'm not
Yeah,
either.
I think I'm yeah, I'm not sure if I'm here either. I'm trying to wake up.
Okay.
Well, then you won't do well with the time change.
Yeah.
I just got back from Montana last night. Was over there doing some work, and so I'm kind of dealing with the time change too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, at least in here, our whole country's in the same time zone. I mean, you've obviously got four different time zones within the US that, that must be really confusing if you're sort of flying from one place to another and then you have flights in that other place which actually are in different internal flight. That could be very confusing, couldn't it? Well, anyway.
I went to Montana with a friend of mine, and he's a worshiper and a guitar player. So in our the trade show we were doing didn't start till later in the day, so we were able to have some really good worship each morning. He's very spontaneous, so we don't
All right, excellent.
do anything. It's a real prophetic kind of experience. And I felt before we went over there that we were to leave a deposit in that area. We were in Helena, which is the capital of the state. And yesterday, as we were worshiping that, I felt like that kind of came to pass. It had to do with spirits that people compromise with. My first mentor in the spirit always taught me that you can't compromise with religious spirits. When you do, they just take more ground, more and more and more. And so we felt like that was kind of what was going on over there. I don't know if it was in their state capital or whatever, but it was a really good experience. It was really nice to have a brother along on a business trip.
All right, excellent.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. Brilliant. All right, okay. Well,
Well, I've had some incredible moves. It just, from glory to glory, and of course, Michael Danforth is stirring up the pot, and so last Sunday he was talking just about the realms and the gates and government and the gates to certain realms and shutting old gates that you've opened to some bad stuff and closing that out and so between where we meet and the freeway is only about 4 blocks. And by the time I hit the freeway entrance to get on the freeway, oh my gosh, God was throwing and weeding and doing stuff. I was like, it's only 4 blocks. And so that entire, I live a half hour away, so within that half hour, that drive home was like, oh my gosh. And then it didn't stop from there because then it triggered a dream, and the first part of the dream was that a lady had come and she stole my fence. She was breaking into my house and she stole my fence, and I was like, what? I was almost in awe because I was like, she's very industrious. My gosh, that's a hard thing to do, to steal my fence. And she got away, and I had gone in my dream, gone back to bed, and then I was awoken by these strobe light flashes in my eyes, and so I'm still dreaming, and I wake up, and I search out my house for this light source, and it's nighttime, but yet there's this light on in my living room that is so bright that you can see the hanging particulates in this in the air, and then it kind of just fades, and I realize that there's someone in my kitchen, and I look, and there's a lady with gray hair and just that real old that soft powder skin and I blue eyes, and I looked at her, and I realized that I just had a knowing that I was, well, I was thinking, are you from the cloud of witnesses? Are you somebody I know? Who are you? And then I realized that at first it was an angel, but then I, after the dream, I realized that it was wisdom. Like, I had an encounter with wisdom, and I didn't want to lose her. And she's like, I have to get something to show you. And I was like, I'm following her. I'm not going to lose her. I just, like, stay close. Don't let her go. And she grabbed a newspaper, and in it she wanted to show me some scripture to read. But it wasn't in the newspaper. And I said, well, I'll go get my Bible. I'm pretty sure it's in there. And she goes, oh, just forget it. Just read Jeremiah. And I'm going, wow, that's a strange book to read, because I know it's a tough book. And then I turned and I looked, and now my angels have come and reassembled my fence. They put it all back together, a brand new fence, new wood, and it was beautiful, a new beautiful fence. And then I turned and she was gone. I was like, dang it. I knew that if I lost sight of her, she'd go away. But so all that is telling me, just so much of the change, really everything is changing just constantly. Your spirit is you know, opening up to those realms, and then the second thing is I have company from Hawaii, Bill and Chris, and Bill is 90 and Chris is 87, and they're creeping on you. I have them on both sides of me here. And so on Saturday, we were able to go to the storehouses in heaven, and they got to see for the first time just engaging in heaven. I walked them through the exercises that you taught us, and boy, Chris, she was over the rainbow, into the meadow, at the base of a mountain, in the river. Jesus gave her a box, and in the box she opened it, and the box was full of life. Awesome. And then Bill got the same. He also got a box from Jesus, and in that was a wonderful new heart. And so it goes to show, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what your date of age is, that to be able to engage in heaven. And they had a wonderful time, to say the least. Yeah. It's a good thing to go to heaven.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, in terms of age, we tend to, we have a problem with age, really, I think, you know. And I think, I believe that those people who are responding mostly to the call that God is releasing out of heaven are mostly people who are older, you know, who are still able to, you know, who are not caught up so much with all the things of life and the need to, you know, get a new house and a new car and a new job and all those things, which, you know, yes, we need in a sense, but I think they can stop people having the time to pursue developing the level of intimacy that's needed for what God is wanting us to do. And so most people who respond are of a particular age, you know, and that's then, you know, what would you expect in terms of Joshua and Caleb? Were no spring chickens, were they? So, yeah, they'd already gone through the wilderness, realized that it wasn't for them, and they definitely wanted their inheritance. And they had that different spirit about them, which, you know, enabled them to bring a whole nother generation in. Yeah. And I think
amen.
And even in that that generation that's coming, it isn't about young people. It's about all people who are going to come in, and that can be people. People can be 100 to 3. It's like they can come in, and we'll be part of that next generation. And I think so much of the last generation, the last 40 years, has been trying to attract the youth and look at young people. And virtually, you know, so much energy has been put into that, because I think people thought that that was the generation that we needed to catch. And it isn't. It's all those that are going to come into the kingdom. And so much resource, and people have not prepared, you know, and that's part of the problem. You know, this harvest is coming in, and people haven't prepared. What should have been being prepared in the last 40 years is, let's get all the mentors ready for those who are coming, you know, rather than let's look to attract a whole load of young people before they leave the church. And actually, majority of what we've done is create programs to almost pander to a generation rather than equipping and challenging. So if we'd approached it as in, we need to get our inheritance because that's what we're going to give to those who are coming, it would have been so different than where we are right now, with, you know, the call going out to look, we need these mentors, we need Joshua's and Caleb's, we need it, because the generation that's coming are going to need the supernatural equipping and mentoring that's going to help them into the fullness of their inheritance. So it's, I think that generation is now ended, and we've got to be those who are going to come out of the wilderness like Joshua and Caleb, and let's say we're having our inheritance. You know, it belongs to us, we're taking it. And I think
I was talking to Bill, and he really resonated with the idea of just hanging out with Enoch. See ya. I'm gonna go hang out, and yeah, it's really neat. Exactly what you're saying is that it's all about the relationship with God. It has nothing to do with that you've missed a time frame or space. It's not. It's the breaking that covenant with time, space, death, all of that. It's being free to live heaven on earth.
Absolutely, yeah. And the call is going out. You know, I'm getting more and more people contact me just saying something's drawing, you know, and this sound that's coming out of heaven, this frequency, vibration, light, whichever way you want to put at it, it is touching people. And then people have choices to make. You know, are they going to embrace this, become the royal priesthood, engage in a new order? For that, you have to let go of all the religious systems. You know, it's those religious spirits that keep us earthbound and keep us trapped into the old and will stop us embracing the fullness of the new order that God is raising up. And it does sound like, you know, somewhat arrogant. Well, this is a new order, and, you know, well, you're saying, you know, and we must be careful that we do not make a judgment, you know, on the old. It's like we have to do what God's calling us to do, and we have to issue that sound and encourage others to follow. You know, if those who don't follow, that's their choice and that decision, will bless them, but and honor them, because they a lot of them have got us where we are.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that. It definitely feels like a door has opened, and we're like, hey, look, this door opened, and it feels more positive than to see that people, they just don't have the vision yet, but the more I talk, the more they see.
Well, that's it. It's presenting it as an opportunity to enter into something new rather than a criticism of the old.
Yeah.
We don't need to criticize the old. The old is what it is. It's got us where we are. I mean, they wouldn't have come to the promised land if Moses hadn't led them around the wilderness for 40 years. They wouldn't have crossed over if they hadn't been brought to that point. But Moses died before they crossed, and he passed on the mantle to Joshua. And that's really what we want. We want people to actually become Joshua from Moses. You know, people can become the Joshua generation from that Moses generation. They don't have to die other than to die to the old ways of doing it. You know, it doesn't have to be physical death. It's just a choice to let go of the old, you know, and to embrace the new and to be willing to cross over into it. And you want as many people from that generation to engage that and to cross over, you know. And we wouldn't have got here without the cost that the previous generation had paid for us to come. And you know, we've been part of that generation in a sense. You know, we've been wandering around the wilderness. It's just someone had to be go and spy out the land, and those who were willing and those who had that different spirit, that pioneering spirit about them, have been willing to pursue what this is, you know. And now we're saying to others, come on, this belongs to us. This is a totally different environment, you know. It was, you know, they were into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And it's that which we have to attract people with, the milk and honey of the land, because this is a good place to be in the realm of heaven, and knowing what it is to be a royal priest on that side of the veil. And you know, rather than, you know, oh well, no, all this old stuff, that's all wrong, let's focus on encouraging the new. And we just leave the old. You know, I don't want to talk about the old anymore. I just want to embrace the new and encourage others to embrace this new, because it's just so much better. You know, it's so much better. Yeah, there's responsibility that comes with it. They didn't have manna turn up on their doorstep every day. They didn't have quails flying in and feeding them every day. They had to go and take the produce of the land and then plant it. But then that's what it is to be responsible for something, rather than being a child just being fed. You know, now we have to become mature and we have to operate in a different way. We're not reliant on Moses. You know, they weren't reliant on Joshua in one sense. They all responded. You know, the miracles were outworked as they all were obedient and they all followed. You know, Joshua didn't wave a staff and divide the Jordan. They stepped into it, and as soon as they put their feet into it, it parted. And I think that's the difference between the old and the new. It's like, as everyone engages into it, then they can experience it. They don't have to have someone as a Moses to do it for them. You know, and that of course is going to challenge all those systems that have been set up to promote that Moses order, because they are reliant on people being reliant on them. And God does not want us reliant on people. He wants us in intimacy with no mediators, direct access. He's our covering. You know, heaven's open. We're not under anybody. But the Joshua generation will be the foundations for the new, not the covering for it. Because it's all about helping people to go wider and further and higher, not actually come to the top and be stuck under a pyramid. You know? Now that obviously is going to challenge those systems that are set up like that, and it's whether people are willing to let that go will be to determine whether they embrace the new or not. But the call is going out. You know, there won't be anyone of that generation who has an excuse. God will have called them. He is calling them. He's challenging them to embrace the new. We just have to be careful of the religious spirits that don't want us to go there, unfortunately. But yeah.
And another report. I have two things. One, I want to report on our bench of three, and then I do request, since I do have guests, that we do a meditation of engaging in heaven, and kind of I'll be thinking of a place I'd like to open and explore. Yep. So that is my request.
Okay.
So our bench of three is strong. We've only gotten together four times now, but we are really more in sync than when we've ever been before. It's very noticeable that we are seeing everything at the same time, and I'll think of something and they'll say it, and it just confirmation, like every thought is confirmed, and we are very strong in just in our relationships. And then just we always start out with God and the Council of Heaven and looking around, and now things are speeding up. We do a lot of prayer and praying over things and opening things and visiting God. And so I just wanted to let you know we're doing very well with our bench of three.
Awesome. Excellent.
I have a question about the bench of three, Tana. Do you guys meet together physically or online? How are you doing that?
We are doing a Skype because they're in Yakima and I'm here in Kittitas or Ellensburg, and it does not matter because when we're in heaven, my eyes are closed the whole time anyway because we're just praying, but it is very effective. It could work with anybody anywhere.
Awesome. Yeah. Good, excellent. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we can definitely do an activation. I mean, wonder if there are any other questions or anything before that. We've got a bit of time left, so plenty of time.
I just make a comment. I was listening to one of your you're doing some YouTube things on. Trying to think of the name of them. So they're kind of categorized experiences or subjects that you talk about, and you were talking about how people perceive so differently and experience heaven in so many different ways, and it's really helpful to me because I don't have I don't feel like I have as many visual experiences as other people, but I'm just realizing that I have just a lot of hearing experiences, and when I see something, it's really not so much that I see it, but I'm aware of the presence of an angel or whatever, and I just appreciate having access to all that stuff through what you've put on there.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the basis of what I'm trying to teach people, is that you have to find how you're wired, and we can practice to develop our senses so that they become more attuned, but the main thing at the end of the day in any encounter that we have is that we have the perception. We have perceived or discerned, understood what it is that God has been saying, showing us, speaking to us, revealing us. You know, because that's the key. You know, because you can have a full-blown, amazing vision, but not know what it means.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is, you know, we need to understand so that we can then obey. You know, and it takes being able to tune in to. Which sense works for us? Yeah, we can look to develop the others, and you know, I have plenty of exercises in our teaching series that help people develop different ways. But there genuinely will be a stronger way that works for us, and it doesn't make it any less valid or real. And I think that's the key in all of it. And you know, I know people focus a lot on using the word see. But we never know what someone else sees, you know. And even they're using the word, or God showed me this, Well, what did he show them? What did it? What do they mean when they say he showed me? And I think people always sort of gravitate to thinking that other people's encounters and experiences are better than theirs. You know, well, they must have this amazing thing because they said this, and we don't know, because we couldn't see through their eyes, so we don't know. We just have to go on what they say. So for me, my spirit has matured to a point where it doesn't need the visual to make it real. I have spiritual perception of knowing where my spirit is and what's going on, where my spirit is, and my soul is very here connected so that it has received that revelationary connection, you know, which means I can do two things at once. You know, I can be here and there and connected, you know, and that's really what we want to get to. Everything is designed so that we can be like Jesus, to live in both realms, see what the Father's doing. And when I say see, again, the word means to perceive, to understand what the Father's doing, whether that comes through him speaking, whether it comes through any other method of communication. The main thing is I receive the communication. You know, I can receive a communication from a teletext. I can receive a communication from an email. I can receive it from a physical text. I can receive a letter. I can receive a phone call. I can have a video message. So long as I'm actually getting what it says, that's what matters. Yeah. And that frees us up. And if we can get over the fact that it all happens in our head anyway, then that is a good starting point, because it all happens in our head. Everything that we experience in this life happens within our consciousness. Even what I touch, only the fact that I touch it, whether it's smooth or rough, comes from the fact that I've learned what smooth and rough is, and my nerve endings in my fingers send impulses to my brain that says rough, smooth, hot, cold, everything else. It all happens in the interpretive part of my brain, my consciousness, which interprets information, whether it comes from electrical impulses from my eye, through my optic nerve, electrical impulses from my ears, through my audio nerve. My whole nervous system is designed to pass information, and my spirit is actually encompassed around that nervous system so that my spirit can also impart information, revelation to my mind, so that my mind and my spirit, because of quantum entanglement, can be in another realm and still communicate instantly to my mind from that entanglement. Which is, I mean, this is why some of these scientific things just give a hey, that actually is true. You know, the reality is that's what happens to two things that are a billion miles apart and operate in exactly the same time scale, because they're connected to something which is in a different realm. And so that's what we need to learn how to do. And I believe that the more mature we get, the more we will just know and can flow in that, and the less we will have to focus, because at the moment we're learning, and when you learn, you always focus more when you learn, you know. But when you've learned, you just do. You don't have to think about it anymore. It just becomes a lifestyle of how we flow from the spiritual to this realm, totally connected and operating from heaven here on earth as a gateway, you know, and all that. So, you know, it's good, you know, and trying to just do is, you know, other people describe it in different ways, which is great, because we all need different ways of engaging, but it's being free from the, I believe almost that the enemy will always try and make us feel inadequate, or what we do isn't as good as anybody else, you know. And we have to just learn to be us. You know, when we're free to be us and we know who we are, then it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or what anyone else says about it, we know. And we have confidence in that. You know, and yes, okay, there's a process, and sometimes, you know, we can learn. And, you know, if God puts you in a trance and takes you into the realm of heaven, spirit and soul, well, you're not going to say no. You know, you're gonna enjoy the experience, and whether it be a full blown, I'm there, wow, this is just like I'm there because I'm totally unaware of what's going on here, that's wonderful. And if that happens, that's awesome, but it's not something we can make happen. It's only something that he can do legitimately. If we try and make it happen or try and induce it, then we're looking to operate, you know, in the wrong way. You know, so most of the time, it's my spirit there and I'm here, my soul's here. It's me, and that's why the great thing is I'm connected, you know, and one. So I can operate there and I can operate here. I just have to practice the communication from one realm to another. You know, and if that's audible and you just have... Because what do you mean by audible is you get thoughts in your mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly the same as what everything else is. It's in your mind. So it's a very real... Because heaven operates on thought. You know, we tend sometimes to see things in that realm as people talking, but actually then airwaves aren't going out. There is not the atmosphere like oxygen and things in heaven that we've got here. So it's a totally different method of communicating. Our residual memory just sort of connects up to help us understand. But in reality, God communicates to us in thought. That's how he communicates to us, in thought. You know, and that's ideal, you know. Because it means that we can be doing things here and doing things there and be totally cognitively aware of both, which gives us a great advantage when it comes to bringing government from heaven onto the earth and seeing heaven flow through us onto the earth as a gateway, because we're connected to it, you know, and flowing in it. But it's still a big issue for a lot of people. You know, they're still struggling. Well, I can't see, therefore, well, I can't do it. You know, and yes, we can practice seeing, we can practice engaging our imagination, we've all got one. It's just some people find it easier to receive thoughts on their imagination, and some people find it easier to receive images on their imagination, but it's still the same place where God communicates and where we can communicate and learn how to communicate and how to engage, you know, because I need to be able to do things with my eyes open. I can't drive down the road with my eyes closed. You know, so I need to do things with my eyes open and have the same spiritual perception of what's going on in the spiritual realm with my eyes open. Well, that isn't generally going to come in a visual form unless there's a total superimposition of the natural and the spiritual realm over one over the other, which sometimes happens. Sometimes you can see things like that. But in general, it is going to be a cognitive perception, impression of what it is and knowing, you know. So, yeah.
I have felt that part of what Jesus, when it talks about, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing and I only say what I hear the Father saying, came... out of it's like the more I experience the Lord in the heavenly realm, the more I become like him, just by contact, almost like osmosis.
Yeah.
And so really what's happening is it's not that he is saying something audibly to me when I respond in a ministry type of sense, so much as I just know this is what he's like because I've spent time with him, so I know it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
It bears fruit.
Yeah.
And it's not so much hearing a voice at that point or seeing a fish, you know, and going and get the gold coin out of it kind of a deal. So.
Sure, yeah. And in reality, if you think about it, the more intimate we are, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever's joined to the Lord in that intimacy becomes one spirit. Yeah. It's like it's just that's who we are. We're one in oneness, and that flows. You know, so when I get this impression that I need to do this or declare this or do that, who is giving me that impression? My spirit and his spirit, in union, in cooperation, in agreement, just flowing. I don't have to think anymore, which gateway is that coming from? You know, I don't need that because I've spent so much time in the presence of God in relationship that I know, you know, and when the Father moves me, I know it's different from when the Spirit moves me and when Jesus moves me. I just know because I just know because I know them. You know, and that only comes through spending the time. You know, that's how it comes, building the relationship, spending the time, developing that sense of intimacy, then everything can flow out of that. You know. And of course they are very much one, but preferring one another. You know, the Holy Father sends the Spirit, the Spirit points to Jesus, Jesus points to the Father, Father sends the Spirit, there's just this complete oneness of relationship, which is what we need to have in our own life, body, soul, and spirit, being one with his Spirit, whether it be the Father, Son, or Spirit who's communicating to us, we just need to be cognitively aware and sensitive to it. And our spirit, through training, can become more sensitive to discern. You know, that's what it says in Hebrews. You know, that's the key to it. We become mature through practice, training our senses through practice. We practice. We do it. We spend time. We listen. And it grows and develops from there. So it's pretty amazing stuff. Anyway, so have you got anywhere where you want to go?
Yes, I was just thinking about the courtrooms of heaven because my friends have several transactions that need to occur in their favor, such as purchasing a car and selling their house, and there's just some administrative things, and I'd like to introduce them to the courtrooms of heaven and the things that can transpire in the courtroom with God. How's that sound?
Okay. What sort of courtroom? I mean, the courtrooms, there's a lot of courtrooms. I mean,
this one would be the transaction of property. We need to acquire property, such as a vehicle, and we need to sell some property, such as land. And so it's the exchange of property is the courtroom we need to go to.
Okay, so you need to the strategy, really.
Okay.
All right, okay. Well, let's engage around the ark of his presence, because that's really what begins a mandate, because you need a mandate to go to court. And so we can go and get a mandate from God for that, for the things that are on each of our hearts. You know, let the desires of our heart be revealed there as we go around the ark of the presence of God, and then we can then Jesus can lead us to whichever courtroom we need to go to be able to experience what we need, and maybe to the angelic court to get the angels assigned on our behalf to outwork those things to go before us. They're all things we can actually do as we engage in that, which I think will be a good place maybe to begin engaging in. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, excellent. Right, okie dokie. Okay, well, I just encourage you to just begin to think about and to focus your thoughts on an open heaven. We have that doorway up into heaven. And Father, we thank you for the open heaven that's over us right now. We begin just to think about that stairway that goes up into heaven. We take that step of faith through the open door. And thank you, Jesus, that you are standing in the doorway waiting to welcome us as you've invited us to come up here.
Yes,
and to embrace you. And we just embrace your presence. And we just surrender to you as a living sacrifice. We lay down our agenda to embrace you. Not our will, but yours be done. And we just present ourselves to you, Jesus, our High Priest. We just enjoy the embrace of love and joy and peace that we experience with you right now. And we just ask you, just take us through the veil of the kingdom as we step through into the very Holy of Holies. And we come before the Ark of your presence. As we take our place to look into that intimate place, we think of your name, the Yod, He, Vav, He, the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man, that representation of who you are in government. So we stand. We choose to resonate with the frequency of your will and your purpose around us right now. We open our hearts to you and the desires of our heart. And just allow you to unveil and write your will and purpose for us on the tablets of our heart. Our desire is to bring you glory. But we come as sons. We open our heart to receive that mandate, that scroll from you that authorizes us today. Just release to us our mandate, or authorized to do in the courts of heaven today. Just release that mandate to us that the desires of our heart will lead us. We choose just to step into you. As we step into you in intimacy, we're clothed with you, Holy Spirit. We're clothed with you, Jesus. We're clothed with you, Father. We're clothed in righteousness, peace, and joy. We're clothed in the way, the truth, and the life. We're clothed in judgment, justice, and holiness. In you, that we would begin to see out of you with the perspective of the lion, the kingly government of God. Or see from the perspective of the ox, the prophetic word of God. Or from the eagle, the apostolic blueprints of God. Or the man, that priesthood, engaging in what was, to bring that into what is, to bring the declaration of what will be. So we receive your courts. Jesus, I ask that you would take each person now to engage the courtroom of heaven that they need to engage to outwork the mandate that you've given them today. That you would now just take us through those veils, through the doorway, for those who need to go to the court of accusation to deal with judicial and legal rights, then Jesus, just take them there and lead them through that protocol. For those who need to go to the court of war for a strategy to bring God's government from heaven to earth, then take that person there. Those that need to go to the court of chancellors to receive authorization, then just lead them there. For those who need to go to the court of angels, just lead them there. And we just ask for wisdom to come to help us with the protocols of the courtrooms of heaven to bring God's government . So we just take our scroll and our mandate and present it before the court. Just call on wisdom to release the revelation. For the strategy or for angelic assignment or for authorization. Thank you. Now, Jesus, I would just ask again that you would just now lead each person. To the place of fulfillment. You would take each person to the angelic court to receive angelic assignments according to the scroll and the mandate that they have, that angels will be assigned to go before to prepare the way for transactions to take place, for exchanges to take place, for blockages to be removed. Just release the angels on their assignments, that they would administer and minister to us, the heirs of salvation, according to the will and purpose that you've revealed. Let the angelic host, the angel armies of God, be released on assignment to outwork the will and purposes of God according to the authorization that we've received in the courtrooms of heaven. And we take those scrolls into our own hearts that will give us the confidence and the authorization to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We make those decrees that release the prophetic word of heaven that we call things that be not as if they were. We release your kingdom come on earth as it is according to the declarations and the authorizations which we make now from the realms of heaven in our position as sons, joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom. We release heavenly government. We speak to every mountain and every obstacle and command it to be moved. We embrace our mountain, our place of authority within the realm of the kingdom. But Jesus, you would just authorize the crown and the mantle and the scepter to, with authority, release that which we've received today. Thank you. Now I just ask, Jesus, that you would now just lead us to come before the very throne of God, before the four living creatures and the seven spirits of God, before the elders, that we would come and cast our crowns before you, that we would honor you, acknowledge your lordship and kingship, as we just lay down just to take all that we've received, to store it and record it as a memory, a precious encounter with you, that in the authority of heaven, as we step back through the veil and we engage in this realm, we carry with us that authorization, that authority on earth as it is in heaven, that the kingdom would manifest through our lives as a gateway of heaven. That we will be changed from being in your presence. That we will be transformed by the frequency of your person. That we agree to come in and resonate with you. To be more like you. Changed from one degree of glory to another. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to leave you there. If you want to continue just in that place of intimacy with him, just continue